In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear brothers and sisters, well, there he is. Do you see him? Behold, a baby, a boy. He's there with his mother, Mary. Mary and Joseph weren't concerned like the PC police of today that naming the baby Jesus would make him think that he was a boy and that he will have to grow up as a boy. Of course he was a boy. Good grief. He has a male anatomy, a male body, a little boy. Mary and Joseph were not confused like we are with regard to gender. He looks like an ordinary baby boy. Has all the body parts, including the little member between his legs. 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 lungs, 2 kidneys, 2 eyes, a nose, a mouth, a heart, etc., etc., etc. This tiny tot looks so ordinarily human, so run-of-the-mill human, that no one in Bethlehem cares to notice. Very few have any use for him. Most could care less. Too busy, too hectic. You know the drill. I hear it all the time from people who don't go to church. The in-laws are no-shows. Mary's parents are missing in action. The landlord doesn't make room for him in the inn. He naps in a manger. He cuddles in Mary's arms. He cries, he coos. He wets his diaper. Ho-hum! Just another little baby boy, born in backwoods, boondocks, the middle of nowhere, Bethlehem. Then why in the wide, wide world of sports are these Persians, these Gentilish, stargazing professional astrologers knocking on the door of this Jewish home? Magi. It's where we get our word magician, magic. Don't open the door, Joseph. They are monstrous, hideous, idolatrous, wrong ethnicity outsiders, star worshipers, horoscopers. And Joseph, he does the unthinkable. He lets them in. Welcomes them. He takes their coats. He waters their camels. He washes their feet. He offers them some tea and crumpets. And that's just the beginning. There's more, shockingly more. The Gentilish magi have traveled hundreds of miles, sacrificed a whole heck of a lot of time and money. No, let me restate that. They've risked everything. Did you hear me? They have risked everything to be given a gift, the gift of salvation that only that little baby can give. This is what it primarily means to worship. They've come all this way to be given to forgiveness, reconciliation, redemption, atonement in the Bethlehem baby. And so given to, they pull off some more worship. They adore the tot bodily. They bow before him and they offer the sacrifice of prayer, praise, thanksgiving, and they throw in some gifts. Is this more of their idolatry? By bowing down and worshiping flesh and blood, a baby? You all know the scriptures. The scriptures say, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You know the first commandment. It says, you shall have no other gods before me. And yet these Persian, Gentile, magi bow down and worship the baby as God. This is delicious. They are no longer worshiping stars. They're not star worshipers anymore. They've repented of that. They've turned away from that idolatrous nonsense. Instead, the little tot has used the gleaming light of a star to bring them from their home in Persia to the true light, capital L light, himself. This king is not only the king of the Jews, but also of the Gentiles. He's the king of everybody, all nations. Yes, this run-of-the-mill, ordinary baby is not just true man, but he's also true God, very God, of very God. All the fullness of God dwells in the baby Jesus. So when you see baby Jesus, who do you see? You see the face of God. You see God himself. God in the flesh. Now, it's one thing for Jesus to be God in the flesh. You know, that's really neat and that's cool. But listen carefully now. It's quite another thing for Jesus to be God in the flesh for you. Little baby Jesus is God in the flesh to be God on the cross, to save you and all people, no matter what their nationality, no matter what their ethnicity, to save all people from their sin and sin's damnation. Yes, the Magi were once in darkness, the darkness of sin and death, but now they are in the light, the majestic light of God himself in the flesh of baby Jesus. For in him there is no darkness at all, but only the light of salvation. So the Magi are given the gift of salvation. No, not in the stars. Their salvation is given in the everyday, ordinary, run-of-the-mill baby boy, Jesus, true man and true God. God for them, God for all, and God for you too, brothers and sisters. For you too were once in darkness, but now the light of the world has come, true light, Jesus, and he gifts you with himself. He gives himself into death for you in his Good Friday death. He bestows his saving name to you in baptism. He donates all of his Good Friday forgiveness with his body and blood in the Lord's Supper. Oh, that's wonderful. So there you have it. Baby Jesus, true man born of the Virgin Mary, and true God, begotten of the Father from eternity. Yes, he's worthy of your worship too. You, like the Magi, take the time, make the effort, even if it's costly, to worship Jesus. It's what Christians do. And so your true worship of him, first of all, is reception. It means being passively given to by receiving him by faith in the way that he gives himself and the salvation that he Good Fridayly won for you in his word in sacrament every Sunday, week after week and month after month. So again, true worship of Jesus is first of all receiving what he gives in the way that he gives, word, sacrament, week after week. If you want to give him something in response, brothers and sisters, you certainly may. You're free to do that. Usually that looks like prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. And now let's do that by singing the Magnificat and praying in Jesus' holy name. In the name of Jesus, amen.